We welcome to the Gospel Spotlight, Paul Jones. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great myself. Paul, first off, who is Paul Jones?
I'm just a man that's really out here trying to make life better for as many people as possible. I would start there. I'm an entrepreneur, a businessman. You know, I fell into being an author, you know. So I'm an author by default and a motivator by default. But my first hand is, you know, I own a string of businesses and things went well. And I really just said, you know what, I need to kind of tell people my story in hopes that my story can help someone else. You know, and that's the real difference, is if I can help somebody, then why not? And we didn't start off with a silver spoon in our mouth. Some would say lower income. Some would say poverty. Born in Rockford, Illinois, and then about 10 years old, moved to Beloit, Wisconsin. And but, you know, my mother was a strong woman, and she helped groom me to be the man I am today.
What made you want to be a man of wealth? What was driving you? What was that motivating factor? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
It's real simple. Frustration. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're tired of saying no to your wife and you know, seeing things that you want to do for your family, you know, and you realize that the status quo, you know, people are saying, well, you know, all of that's not important. Well, you know, I didn't know who they were talking to because my God said something different for my life. But I did know that if we acted on some information, we could have a lifestyle based on the information that we truly apply in our lives. So what really got me going is I got turned down on a home approximately 20 years ago. I was going to buy my first home, and I got turned down on that loan. And, man, did that make me mad, because the thing that bothered me is everything that the so-called, you know, counselors from school and advisors and people ahead of me were saying, I did. Go to school. Get an education. Go out and get a good job. Well, you know what? I have a business degree. My wife has her bachelor's in nursing and a bachelor's in Spanish. So it wasn't about education. In fact, there was education, and the debt created from getting so educated is what was stopping us from buying the home. Now, I'm not saying don't get educated, because we all need to be educated. But I am saying that it was having an understanding of debt is what I did not understand, and how as I was doing something to move forward, I was also taking 4 or 5 steps backwards. I have to put that in balance to get an understanding. So now today, I teach financial literacy with a passion to say, you know what, I understand that frustration. I know what it's like to want and can't afford, and I just said, you know what, I'm going to change it, and then I'm going to teach those around me how to do better in life as well.
How important is it, Paul, to put something away for the person who is not an entrepreneur, but they want to be, and when they get paid, to put a little bit away until you can get what you need or get close to what you need?
Well, it's imperative that you do that regardless. You know, in my book, Who Told You You Were Broke, I talk about obviously tithing and sowing that first seed. You know, we do that because it's disciplining us on our financial matters. Second is saving at least 20%, you know, which what that means is form your life in the beginning. This is before you go out and get into financial trouble or anything. It's when you're stepping into the world, say, you know what, out of every check, I'm saving 20%. Now, get this, save 20% from the growth, not from the net. Most people make the mistake of trying to save off of what they net. Wealthy-minded people save from the growth. That means putting the money up in a tax-deferred growth fund. So, therefore, you're putting more value, more of your principal dollar into a fund that's going to grow to your advantage. And that's the difference. So now, whatever it is you want to do, if you want to start a business later in life, you have the money. If you want to buy a home in the future, you have the down payment. You know, investments may come. You never know what investment is going to get set in front of you. You know, but this will put you in a position to have it. And I get all my 18 to 25 to 30-year-olds, listen to this. When I was 18 to 20 to 25 years old, I used to say, man, I wish someone would have told me. Well, listen here. I can promise you, when you get in your 40s to your mid-40s, you're going to wish that you have put some things up. Because no one that I know in their mid-40s today to early 50s really wants to continue going on that same daily grind or working that same old job, et cetera. So it's about getting yourself to a point where going to work every day is a choice, not a necessity.
Why is it that there are so many people broke?
Education. You know, my first book I wrote, it was entitled Who Told You You Were Broke? And obviously the concept was from when you look at Adam and Eve in the story there, where Adam and Eve are in a garden, and God comes and, you know, he says, hey, why were you hiding? He said, well, I was naked. God said, who told you you were naked? Well, the person that revealed that to them hated them, wanted to manipulate them, destroy them. So if someone hates you and you're taking information from them and it's a bad spirit or whatever you want to call it, well, you're not going to get quality information from someone who hates you, from a spirit that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. So the first thing we have to do is we have to start taking physical responsibility, but we have to do it with a passion. We have to make it more important to understand everything about a loan, everything about credit, everything about everything that has anything to do with your money going anyplace other than your bank growth fund. We have to get that down. But if you don't have the information, and this was the case for my mom, this was the case for my grandmother and grandparents, period, and great-grandparents who had no choice because, you know, they come in the world, and one, you're a slave, and then you're free, and then what do? But you have to start from some point and say, you know what, I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look forward. And when I look forward, I'm going to gain all the information and the knowledge that I need so that the next generation is greater. One thing I can tell you, HJ, is this right here. Our people need to get life insurance. You need to have life insurance. When a person passes away, we don't want to be stuck doing a GoFundMe account or some kind of collection saying, well, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so just passed away and their family needs money to bury them. You know, we know that's a guarantee we're all going to go. So when we go, we don't want to leave our family with debt. We want to leave them with some form of an inheritance, not just burial inheritance, but we want to teach our children how to manage money, how to understand money, understand what liabilities and assets are. Just yesterday, my son and I were having a conversation, and he was saying a kid had the new LeBron James tennis shoes on, which were from Nike. And I looked at him. I said, well, that's good, you know, because we can obviously get the same shoes. I said, but you know what? One thing that you know that the other kid probably doesn't have. And he said, yeah, I know. I own Nike stock. Now, this is a 10-year-old.
Wow.
Who owns Nike stock. So it's we teach our children that they're successful because they have the brand name on. Well, I teach my son that, yes, I'm not saying you can't wear the brand name. I'm saying own a piece of the brand name. So the only thing I'm doing is saying, even if you are the regular everyday job and that's the best you can do, well, you know what? If you somehow can scrape up the money to buy your child some Nikes, some LeBron James, some Air Jordans, I have no problem with LeBron James and I have no problem with Michael Jordan. I am very proud of them brothers for doing what they've done to succeed because everybody should look at them only as inspiring individuals. They don't owe me anything but to succeed. Now, I'm going to buy the stock. Because as they succeed, and if you own a piece of that company, you grow with the company. So it's having that understanding at a young age. So my 10-year-old can explain to you liabilities and assets. He'll tell you what the Nike ticker symbol is, or the Under Armour, because he owns Under Armour too. You know, the same thing with Microsoft stock, because if you're going to play with your Xbox, then we must own some stock in that company also. And I'm not saying it needs to be a crazy amount of shares. It's about the understanding and the principle that we lay down to our children at a young age. So instead of we allowing someone else to teach our children. We take control and say, hey, this is what the wealthy teach their children. And if we all do that, then we create a generation of wealthy-minded individuals. That's the first thing that has to happen. Most people look for wealth in the bank account, but you must have a wealth mindset first. Being followed is the bank account, as long as you apply what's in your thoughts.
You sort of answered my question, but I'm going to ask you this. What is it that kids need to know about credit?
Kids need to know everything about credit because today credit is what controls it. Matter of fact, do you know the average adult don't even understand credit? The average adult right now thinks that credit is just simply applying for a loan or getting a credit card, and you have good credit so you can get that credit card. Not at all. That's a part of it, yes. But today, if you want a good job, the job now checks your credit. Why would they do that? Well, they don't want to hire someone who shows that they have bad credit because, you know what? That means you don't know how to manage your finances. And if you don't know how to manage your finances, then you're going to be in there at that boss asking for a raise, thinking that your problem is you don't make enough money, when the problem really is you don't manage the money you have to leverage it. Now, when you have good credit, that also means you can buy a car and a home at a lower interest rate. So understanding that that's the future, understanding that you can have a car and been driving your car for 5 years with zero problems, no legal issues with your car at all. You have had no accidents, but because your credit is bad, you're going to pay higher insurance rates anyway, and you haven't had any vehicle mistakes at all. So knowing that that's the future, knowing that to get a job, you need to have good credit. To rent an apartment, everyone's going to rent. We all, as young people, we get our first apartment. You know, well, they're going to check your credit. And if your credit is bad, they either may not rent to you, or they're going to ask you for a higher security deposit and maybe even charge you a little more on the rent. And for those who like to work in a school, you know, like coaching your kids, programs, you know, whatever you want to call it, working with your school, well, they do a background check for you to do anything with the school. Well, the background check also consists of credit. So we need to make sure that our young folks today understand that Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and understand what a FICO score is, and understand what a Vantage score is, because all of that consists of credit and credit worthiness. And it means paying on time, doing things right, and not overdoing it. In fact, if you have a $1,000 credit card, do not use that card for more than $250. That's kind of the principle. So don't go over. The rule of thumb is never use more than 30% of your credit. So if everybody knows to keep your debt-to-income ratio at a low rate, then when you go to buy things, you can buy it at a lower interest rate. Then the money you save, put it into a growth fund, make it into your investment so that you can go and create wealth. And that's why I always tell people, start some form of in-home business. You don't have to have a brick-and-mortar business. You can work right from home. There's always something we can do, and that's how you get your tax advantages, and that's how you get ahead in life. And I'll leave you with this. Think about this. Who really makes the real money in this country, owners or employees? Well, we all know owners do. So therefore, we need to position ourselves at some point for ourselves and our children to become owners. That means own your car. That means own your house. I'm not just talking about your business. You know, you can work someplace and have a little smaller part-time business that you run, and you get your tax advantages and everything else that works with you as a business owner. But you want to own what you have. If you own your assets, that means you created wealth.
Is there another book in the making, Paul?
You know, I'm always writing. Right now we have a book that's called the Paul D. Jones Book of Quotes, and it's entitled I'm Just Saying. you know, because through their Instagram and the Twitter accounts and Facebook world, social media, I'm always putting out some kind of quote over the years. And speaking engagements, I've always put a one-liner out. So people have requested that. I just kind of log them, and wonderful people in my office have helped me do that. And so this summer they will also see, besides of I Quit Being Broke, which is out now, they'll see I'm Just Saying, which will be out sometime this summer, late summer.
And as we wrap things up, Paul, social media-wise, how can folks find you? How can they get in touch with Paul Jones?
Everyone can go to Paul, D for Divine, Jones.com. So PaulDJones.com. Once you get to the site, just click any of the social media links. I'm always at mail at PaulDJones.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/ I Quit Being Broke. That all connects the world to me. And but PaulDJones.com, and I'm always connected, and I look forward to serving and improving as many lives as possible.
Paul, it's been a pleasure. We want to thank you, and may God continue to bless you and all that you do.
All right. Thank you, sir, and bless you too.
You're welcome. Paul D. Jones is our guest inside of the Gospel Spotlight.